to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David continues our Go series with looking at going and keeping on going. Let's listen.
Well, officials in Southern Oregon had created a COVID clinic where they were giving out doses of the vaccine. And then something happened, which maybe you can relate to being here today, a snowstorm hit. And they had to close the clinic early. Well, two of these health workers, they had six doses of Moderna left. And so their plan was to deliver them to Grants Pass, which was a nearby town. But they got on the highway, and an accident occurred in front of them and shut down the entire highway. We have a picture of what that highway looked like because they took that picture for us. They realized, as they simply sat there, on the highway, that they were going to be there for hours and that their vaccines were going to expire before they got them to where they needed to go in Grants Pass. If you were one of those healthcare workers, what would you do in that situation? I mean, how would you respond when your plan A isn't working anymore, you've run into a major obstacle, and you're not sure, well, what should I do next? These healthcare workers, they came up with a very ingenious plan. They started going car to car, simply asking people if they wanted the vaccine. I think that's a wonderful idea. They said many people thought it was a joke. They're like, there's no way this is real. You're just coming up to my car in the middle of a blizzard offering me this vaccine. But those who realized that it was not a joke, we're overwhelmed with gratitude and overjoyed. You've got a picture up there of one person with just a t-shirt, not expecting that that was going to happen, snow coming down, getting her first dose of this COVID-19 vaccine. So what does this story teach us? Well, it teaches us a little bit about what Bailey said, where there are times that you need to persevere. Or another way to say that is when you're option A doesn't work, there are times where you just need to say, well, what's the next best option? Instead of going, my option didn't work, and now I don't know what to do. And so I'm throwing up my hands, maybe I'm giving up, I don't know what to do. No, you say, how can we be creative here? How can we keep going? How do we keep our eyes on the prize of what we know we came here to accomplish? That's what those healthcare workers did. When they were stuck in a snowstorm with quickly expiring vaccines, they didn't say, well, we did the best we could. No, they said, okay, what's the next right thing that we can do? And they came up with a great solution. Well, as we mentioned earlier, we are in our series titled Go. That's those big words right there, go. And today we're talking about how we go and then keep going. No matter what's in your path or what might be trying to block you, you keep going. And we are following the story of Paul and Barnabas. You might remember last week, they were in the town of Antioch. And in Antioch, all of these people from outside the Jewish faith ended up coming to faith. And Paul and Barnabas kind of teamed up, and they said, we are going to share the good news together. Well, after that story, the local ministers and church in Antioch said, we're going to commission you guys, Paul and Barnabas, as missionaries. And we want you to take that message that lit Antioch on fire and go share that throughout this whole region. And so that's what they chose to do. And that's the story that we are going to study today, is their first missionary journey together. And you're going to find out that in one particular case, I mean, they ran into a major issue that they did not expect. And they had to come up with, well, what is the next right step? So we are going to follow Paul and Barnabas to the town of Lystra. Now, we've got a little map that shows you where Lystra was. And as you can see, so off to the, let's see, I guess maybe your left, you'll see Antioch there, which is where they were last week. And then from there, they did an extensive amount of traveling. And then right there in the middle is Lystra. And that is where our story takes place today. That's where Paul and Barnabas have ended up. So, Acts chapter 14, verse 8 begins in this way. It says, "In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked." Okay, we don't know anything about this man other than this one physical characteristic. He cannot walk. And he has never walked. And so he sits there, and a crowd gathers, and they want to hear Paul preach. And Paul begins preaching as he does in all those other cities on his missionary journey. And this man is simply a part of this crowd, this man who has not walked and cannot walk. And we're told that as he listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. Isn't that a really interesting statement to make? That Paul looked at this man who cannot walk and saw something in him. He saw that he had the faith to be healed. What do you think it was that Paul saw there? Well, let's consider for a moment the state of this man and what was going on inside of him as he heard Paul preach about the gospel, preach about the good news. I bet that something must have stirred inside him as he was hearing those words that Paul was preaching. I wonder if you can relate to that. You've maybe heard a sermon in your past, or you've read scripture at one point, and you realized, God is speaking directly to me. And upon that realization, you feel something stirring within you. It's a similar feeling maybe to when you go to the symphony and all the music and the instruments are playing together and it reaches its crescendo and all of a sudden you get goosebumps and you feel something stirring within you. I think this man, who had no reason to believe that he would ever walk, he must have felt the stirring of possibility within himself. The stirring of what is possible with God. Yes, he had faith to be healed. And Paul somehow recognized this. Yes, Paul was looking at this man intently and saw something in him. Did he see it in his eyes? Was it his body language, his posture? We don't know. But Paul saw something and he realized this man has the faith to be healed. And so Paul sees this, and immediately we're told, says he called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." I mean, imagine this story. Imagine you were in the crowd that day, and this man, who had never walked a step in his life, jumped up. He didn't just gingerly stand up. No, he jumped up in excitement and began to walk. Now, as miraculous as that is, I don't want you to pay too much attention now to that man because we don't see him for the rest of this narrative. I want you to pay attention to the reaction of the crowd to this miracle. This crowd, they're so overwhelmed by what they just saw that the only solution that they can come up with of what they're seeing is that Paul and Barnabas must be gods. They must be gods in human form. I mean, why would they think that? Well, I mean, think about it. They knew this man who could not walk. They probably knew his name. They probably knew his family. Maybe they saw him grow up, and never in their imaginations did they believe that they would see that man walk. And when they did, well, they thought, something's happening here that I cannot explain, and I cannot come up with a conception of what I'm seeing. And so their idea was that, well, the man who's preaching and told him to stand up, he must be a god in human form. Yes, it goes on. and says, Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Okay, there's a local legend in this Lystra area, And the local legend was that a long time before this story, Zeus and Hermes came down and took on human flesh. Yeah, they disguised themselves as humans. And then they went from person to person seeking hospitality. And as the legend goes, no one offered it to them. Everyone kept saying, no, I'm too busy. I'm not going to offer this stranger hospitality. Until one elderly couple said, oh yeah, come into our home, share a meal. We'll let you stay here for the night. At that point, as the legend goes, they revealed themselves as not just normal humans, but they were Zeus and Hermes. They were gods. And they said, we are going to bless you for showing us hospitality and curse everybody else who did not show us hospitality. If that's the local legend in Lystra, I mean, don't you think that was maybe in the back of their minds when all of a sudden they saw something that they couldn't explain and said, well, we don't want to mess that up again. I mean, if these are gods in human form, then we want to make sure that we please them. And so we are going to bring sacrifices to them just to make sure we're on their good side. Fun fact, archaeologists actually have done some excavating in this area, and they have found two statues from this same time period. One was of Hermes, and it was dedicated to Zeus and Hermes, which I think is so interesting going along with this story. And the second was a statue of Zeus, and it was dedicated to the priests of Zeus. Now, you see that they have a temple honoring Zeus right outside the city walls. And the priests of Zeus are the ones who are bringing the bulls for the sacrifice. And so it's always neat when something from the Bible is then backed up by in support of something that is found outside of the Bible. So the crowd wants to offer sacrifices. Paul and Barnabas, they are horrified by this development. Just horrified. Here's where it goes next. It says, but when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes, which is a sign of grief, and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you, and we are bringing you good news. If you watched us last week, or if you were with us last week, remember, good news means gospel. So they're saying, we're just bringing you the gospel, telling you to turn from these worthless things, meaning the idols of Zeus and Hermes, turn from those to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Yes, we are not gods, they proclaim. We're just like you. We're humans just like you. But did you see what they understood as humans, what their role was? They said, we are simply the bringers of the good news. Now, we are not the good news in and of itself. We are the bringers of this message of salvation. In some ways, they're saying, we are simply the messenger. So don't get us confused with the message. Yeah, in some ways, they're saying, God's the CEO. I'm just the employee. I mean, God's the leader. I'm simply the follower. We are messengers. And the message is what you need to pay attention to. Paul continues to talk about this message and how the message of the good news, the gospel, has been right there in Lystra all along, and they may not have even noticed it. Yes, he says, Paul goes on speaking, he says, in the past, God let all nations go their own way, and yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. I think this is such a beautiful part of Paul's speech, where he begins speaking of the kindness of God. And he tells them, he goes, hey, when you share a meal, that's a sign. And it's a sign of God's kindness. Or when you see a change in the seasons, that's a sign. It's a sign of God's kindness. When your heart is simply filled with joy, that's a sign of God's kindness. All of this, he says, is from God. None of this is from Paul. He and Barnabas are simply the messengers of this wonderful good news to share. Now, I want you to pay attention to still the response of the crowd. They are still trying to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, but something changes, and the good times do not last. Yes, the next verse says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and won the crowd over. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Whoa! What just happened there? I mean, what an absolute change from where you may have thought the story was really going. I mean, one moment, the crowd thinks that they are gods in human form. And the next moment, they decide to throw stones at them until they believe Paul is dead, and then drag his lifeless body outside the city walls. What changed? I don't know exactly what changed in the hearts of that crowd, but the result is deeply tragic. I mean, again, put yourself in Paul's shoes here. He's preaching. He's a messenger, and he's sharing this message that he deeply believes in, and they are tracking with him to an extent. They're a little confused, but they're tracking with him until they're not. And then they decide to throw rocks at him until they believe that he's dead. In one of his later letters, he recounts this experience in 2 Corinthians. He says, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was pelted with stones. And he's thinking back to this experience that we just read about in Acts. Three times I was shipwrecked. Yes, Paul, what he's saying here is Paul has had to endure so much as a messenger of the gospel, a messenger of the good news. But here he is, stoned almost to the point of death. And you have to think that the average person would never set foot in that city again. I mean, the average person would probably turn tail and curse the Listerians on the way out. But Paul is not an average person, because this is what he decides to do. Acts 14:20 says, but after the disciples had gathered around him what they believe is his lifeless body, he got up and went back into the city. What in the world would compel Paul to go back into the city? I mean, this city just turned on him. The crowds just threw rocks at him. They tried to kill him, but Paul got up and went back into the city. Why? Why would Paul do this? I was reflecting on that question a lot this week. And the conclusion I came to is a person will go to great lengths for something that they deeply believe in. And Paul deeply believed that God was sharing with us something that needed to be shared with anyone who had not heard it. Yes, Paul deeply believed in the gospel. And you can see the great lengths that he chose to go to share that good news. Paul got up and went back into the city. He went to face the same crowd that had just tried to kill him. Now, I want you to remember that the next time you go through something really challenging in life. Because the challenges do come, don't they? I mean, life's going to knock you down. And you'll get back up, and it might knock you down again. That's what happens with life. But when that happens, please remember these words, that Paul got up, and Paul went back into the city. Yes, I came, as I was thinking through these themes, I came across a great definition for what I think is showing itself in this story, this example. I would call it grit. I mean, Paul showed grit. And I was watching a TED Talk on grit, and the Angela Duckworth used this definition, which I really resonated with. She said, grit is the perseverance and passion for long-term goals. Now, we all have long-term goals, don't we? I mean, you know what type of person you want to be. You know what type of family you want to create. You know what type of world you want to be living in. We all have long-term goals, and you will face challenges as you work towards those goals. You will face hardships as you work towards becoming the type of person you want to be, or shaping this world in the way that you think the world should look. You will get knocked down. But grit is the perseverance to continue towards those long-term goals in the face of those challenges, and the passion to maintain that work because you know it's so important. Yes, Paul got up. He didn't stay down. Paul got up, and he didn't run away. He got up and went back into the city. So I wonder, are you having a really hard time, maybe with your family right now? Maybe there's conflict and drama. Keep going. Are you struggling in feeling just stressed or overwhelmed in something that's happening right now? Keep going. Yes, what we see from Paul today is that perseverance is a biblical trait. Now, the lesson here is should be learned not just for our individual lives, although I hope that is a help to all of us, but it's also for our church. I think collectively, we as a congregation should learn these lessons as well. Because I don't think we'll face exactly what Paul faced, hopefully, but we'll face other challenges. I mean, surely we will. There will be times that we try things as a church and they don't work. There'll be times that we face obstacles and we don't know the next right solution. We will hit disappointments and failures because those are all a part of life. But when we do, I hope we remember these words and this story of Paul, because Paul believed so much in what he believed God wanted him to do that he simply got up and continued persevering and pursuing those long-term goals. And so if our long-term goal is sharing the message of God's love with all of Lincoln County, well, then we just need to keep on going regardless of what obstacle may come into our path. Yes, Paul got up and went back into the city.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.